for Hasidim, the transition that was made between the period of being a Rav and then becoming a Rav and a Rebbe, which set to a large extent a certain, which established a certain way of life in many of the cities of Hungary, in Galicia, where the Rebbe was also the Rav, and we spoke a little bit about the developments that led to his the developments that led to his becoming a Rebbe, even during the lifetime, even at an early time in his life after the death of the Chayzer from Lublin. And that there was some discussion whether or not he should become a Rebbe. We spoke about that last week. And I want to learn some more Tyrus inside of the B'nai Saskut tonight. And then next week in Mitzvah Shem, we'll continue to discuss the B'nai Saskut's role as a Mekubal, as a Kabbalist, as a Mekubal, which he made huge contributions in the area of Kabbalah. Very extraordinary contributions. We're not going to study Kabbalah, but we'll discuss his approach towards the study of Kabbalah. Now, on the pages that you have, on top it says Parshas Achrei. That's Achrei Mos from the Agra Dekala. Yeah. Achrei Mos from the Agra Dekala. Agra Dekala, a Torah that he said on Shabbos. This is one of his Svarim on Chumash. If you look at the piece, it's on the second page, which says Achrei, it says on the bottom right hand side, it says Rabbi Brachia Pasach. You have that? Rabbi Brachia Pasach. Let's learn this teaching from the B'nai Saskut. The reason that I'm interrupting the biography, I mean, the Torah is all the biography, but the reason that I'm interrupting just telling the story of his life with these Torahs is because in order to get an idea, to get a picture of who the man was, again, on our level, to try to understand who was the B'nai Saskut, the best way to do that is to take a look at some of his teachings. So since we were talking about his becoming an Admor, a Tzaddik, a Rebbe, so we'll have to have an idea of how he, to have an idea of how he perceived himself in that role. What did he see was the responsibility of the Tzaddik? And he has thousands of teachings on the subject, and I'm picking a few. So we'll do this teaching, this Torah, and then maybe the second teaching we'll do tonight is from his Agra Dipirka, which is on the subject of the kvitl, of the tzaddik taking a kvitl and taking a pidyon, that coming to the tzaddik with a kvitl and with a pidyon, with money and with a kvitl. Rabbi Brachia Pasach. It brings there's a medrash on this pasach in Mishlei where it says Gam anayish la tzaddik lo toiv. The pasuk is talking about, the pasuk means that punishing the tzaddik lo tov, even punishing the tzaddik is not good. The simple pshat in the pasuk is that even though there's a justification, there's a good reason why Hashem will cause the tzaddik to go through certain difficulties, to suffer, nevertheless, it's lo tov, meaning that it's difficult, the Medrash is saying, kivyochel for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do this. Because for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hurt the tzaddikim, even though it's beneficial, and it brings about something which is good, afal pichein, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes it as gam anosh la tzaddik lo tov. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Medrash says, Afa pisha anashti is Aaron v'lakachti shnei bonav mimenu. The Medrash is referring specifically to the death of the two sons of Aaron, who themselves were great tzaddikim, Nadav and Avihu, were great tzaddikim. Nevertheless, for the reasons that we're not going to go into right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that they had to be killed. Nadav and Avihu were killed. So the Medrash says, even though I have punished Aaron by taking away his two sons, lo tov, meaning is that when the tzaddik suffers, When the tzaddik suffers, even though lo tov, because it's so hard for Kadosh Baruch Hu to cause someone like a tzaddik to suffer, nevertheless, the ultimate purpose is lahakos nedivim al yosher. The Medrash is telling the pshat in the pasuk is that if a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a clap, gives a patch to a tzaddik, that somehow through the tzaddik's suffering, that there's going to be a straightening out of the Jewish people. That somehow that brings about, again, it's not always something we can understand, but that somehow the ultimate purpose of that is that the Jewish people will benefit. Therefore, in the case of Aaron and his two sons, so the result of the death of the two sons of Aaron was to strengthen the realization of Al Yovo B'chol Eisel HaKodesh. That one has to remain outside of the Kodesh. You can't make up religion on your own. It's not up to you when to go in and when not to go into the Kodesh or Kodashim. It's not up to you. You could be the greatest tzaddik in the world. Nevertheless, it's not up to the individual when it's time to go into the Kodesh and when it's not time to go into the Kodesh. So as a result of the death of the two sons of Aaron, this was clarified, this was strengthened. This was strengthened in the minds and in the hearts of the Jewish people. Nevertheless, it hurts HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyochel, it hurts Hashem to punish the tzaddik. That's what the Medrash is saying. So he says, Bogamer, Belozor, he says, Bogam letaretz, ulefarish hadibur, mahu umefarishu bedvar nechmad, vuhu alpi, mashapirashno daigib leiv ish yasichena. It says in Mishlei, that when a person has a worry in his heart, when something is worrying you, yisichena means you should talk it over with somebody, share it with someone. When there's something that's weighing heavily upon you, then it's important that you talk to someone that you trust, that you talk to someone about this. Now we understand that from a simple psychological perspective, it makes a lot of sense. And we understand, and we all have experienced this countless times, when there's something that we're worried about, we're concerned about, and we'll try to turn to someone that we love, not really expecting necessarily an answer, or a solution to the problem. We don't necessarily have a solution. But the fact that you're sharing it with someone that you trust, that's already a chatzin nechama, that's already more than a half a consolement. That in itself relieves the person of the tremendous burden of this worry, to a large extent. So he explains, "Upirshu Chazal Yisichena LaAcherim." So the Rebbe asks, "Hinei Ma Betza B'ze?" What's the real benefit of this? Of course, he means aside from the psychological benefit of sharing, of discussing this with someone. Upirashu, he says, a very important yisod. He says a very fundamental thing that I've spoken about a little bit in shul. It's a very big yisod he now teaches us. Last Shabbos, not this past one, the Shabbos before I spoke a little bit about this. Upirashnu dehine atzur tomim paolo v'chalila lo yaves mishpat. Hashem is perfect, He's perfectly just, He's perfectly fair. And there's no corruption of justice, there's no chalila, there's no distortion of justice. V'hine imchata adam v'roi l'kabel aynish b'cheto, if God forbid a person has sinned. And because of that, he is worthy of being punished. He's supposed to be punished, whether it's physically or b'mamayno or to lose money. Hine yegi tzar gadol gam lebanav chas v'shalom. Now, if you've done something wrong, and as a result of that, there's a din that you need to go through certain suffering, but the result of your being punished is going to cause terrible aggravation to your father, chasam gam la'aviv v'imo, to your mother. And people who love you will suffer terribly as a result of your being punished. And your close friends will be upset. Your close friends will suffer when they see that you've lost money or that you got a bit sick. I mean, there are many people that when they hear that something is not well by you, they'll say, that's terrible, that's a shame. But then there are those who are closer who will feel deeper anguish. And the ones who love you most, The ones who love you most will become sick. They'll be sick with worry, and they'll be sick with fear. If God forbid you're not well, if chalila you lose parnasa, then the closer the person is to you, the more pain they suffer as a result of your suffering. Like I always like to say over that they say from Abaye Levine that when he went to the doctor with his wife, he says, "Doctor, my wife's foot is hurting us." And that statement, "My wife's foot is hurting us," he said it in such a tremendous way. He said, "I can't, it hurts me, I can't. My wife's foot is hurting us." When there's such an ahava, when there's such love, that there's a complete and total identification with the other person. And if the person is more distant from that individual, so then the tsar is less, then the anguish, the pain is less. In kolzel, kol achad magia is a tsar. Nevertheless, everybody in the family and any friend of this individual who's going through a difficult time experiences some degree of tsar, of suffering, of anguish. So the Rebbe says, okay, we understand that the person himself has sinned, but and therefore he's punished. But what sin has been committed by the man's children, by his friends, by his parents? That they're going through suffering because of his tsar. God forbid, it's impossible to say that Hashem will allow anybody to suffer for no reason. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, when one person suffers, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes through the whole cheshbon of how it affects every single person. And Hashem knows exactly how you're going to react. Hashem knows exactly how close you are and how much it's going to hurt you that person is hurting. And that's all part of the cheshbon. Because there's not one ounce of suffering that's without a cheshbon. Not one ounce. We see that from the story of Yosef HaTzadik. It says in the Muslim Sfarim that I've mentioned before in Shul, that it says that Yosef HaTzadik, when he was taken down to Mitzrayim, he was taken in a perfumed wagon. A wagon that sells perfumes. Where usually the caravan that passed by that time of the year was a caravan that it was telling was schlepping fashtunkenazach and disgusting things. Smelly things. Iris, you know, skins and smelly things. But the wagon that took Yosef HaTzadik down to Mitzrayim, that wagon was selling perfumes, which was Lobedech HaTev. It wasn't supposed to be there then. So the Muslim Sfarim asked, I mean, such a big taiva that Hashem did better, he shouldn't go down to Mitzrayim at all. In other words, it's a big chiddush that he was taken the first class into slavery. I mean, first class down to Mitzrayim. First class to end up in prison, ultimately. So, I don't remember which sefer I saw this, and I think the Yisoid HaDas from the Lomja Mashgiach, where he said, I believe it was him, where he said that a person has to know that there was a decree, it was necessary for Yosef HaTzadik to go to Mitzrayim for very deep reasons that we all know. That had to be. But that the tzaddik had to have the aggravation of smelling bad things. Why? That's not part of the... Obviously, that wasn't part of the cheshbon. That wasn't part of the cheshbon, that the tzaddik should have to suffer from a bad smell. From a bad smell. Which is not such a terrible thing. But so this mashgiach said that there's not one drop that's not gecheshbon. There's not a drop of tzar, of anguish, that's without the tzaddik, without a cheshbon. It's a side effect. What they call side effects. So therefore, the Rebbe is saying that even if other people are affected, depending upon their closeness to the person who has sinned, so it has to be that there's a cheshbon for that as well. That's what he writes. Ela al karchach, it must be hakol emes v'hakol bedin. Everything is emes, it's true, and everything's bedin. The Don in Vayis Ahei says, "Kol ha'anoshim ha'mekuravin v'ha'ohavim." That's a scary thing. Chazal say that in a number of places, but the way the Rebbe writes it is that when one person is being punished, when one person is suffering, it means that a din is taking place for all those who are close to that person and for all those who love that person. They are also being judged. There's also some din that's taking place in their lives. Otherwise, this wouldn't have happened, because why should they suffer from their friend's suffering? And that's exactly the tsar, according to the din, according to the halacha, that is reaching each and every one. And that's exactly the tsar, according to the din, according to the halacha, that is reaching each and every one. And by that person suffering, the result of that is that the others suffer. The suffering of the others is there somehow to bring about a rectification, a correction for that, for something else that that individual in the family or the friend might have done wrong. It could have been something 20 years ago. It could have been something 30 years ago, whatever it was. It was something, though, that did not... It was something where there was not a cheshbon that was finished. It wasn't finished. According to the Sifrei Kabbalah, it could have been in a different lifetime as well. If there's one person that's close to you, and that chabura, and especially even someone that's very close to you, who does not deserve to suffer, then even though you are, God forbid, have committed some grievous sin, and there, as a result of that you should suffer, nevertheless you won't. That's what he says. Mimeli yinatzal gam ha'isha chaytim ha'inish ha'kavula b'guf ha'mamen. Ki behechrech yitztar gam chavero ve'echov b'tzaru, because his friend, his brother, they'll all suffer. V'chaver hu tzadik. But if your friend is a tzadik, then a royal la'inish v'tzar. That means that your friend should not be punished, should not have to go through any suffering. V'chalila Hashem is baruch le'yaves mish, but God forbid Hashem will not make that which is straight crooked. Maybe he's referring to a certain gemara there. That if one person sins, the other one doesn't suffer. Ad asher chalila yimtza avloso gam chaver v'roi chasu shom letzar gam kein. It means that if somebody is losing, God forbid, his health or his parnasa, and you are close to him and suffering as a result of that, it must be that something that it's not just that you're suffering because of him. That brings to in your life also kapara. There's something that you have to be, that has to be finished with you, your own cheshbon. Kan matza bal chayv ligvais es chayv. It means that's when a Kadosh Baruch Hu collects. Me'achot harishna shenigzor lav lis'anish rak she'adin hayim mesulak b'avur ha'ish atzadik shemitztayer b'tzayro shel zeh. So sometimes you could be let off, it could be postponed. It could be postponed. This is working two ways. So we'll see in a minute. Sometimes it could be your own punishment and difficulties could be postponed. Because you're connected to people, you have a shaychus, you have a kesher to people who love you, who are good, who are tzaddikim, who are righteous. And if you were to suffer, that person who's a tzaddik also suffers. And that would be chalila, that would be unfair. And there can't be anything unfair. So sometimes the person can be spared his own punishment and suffering, because of his karvus, because of his closeness, and the love that's in a relationship between him and tzaddikim. V'zeh shekosuv, and that's the deeper meaning of this pasuk in Mishlei, of daigu b'leivish yasichena la'acherim. The Chazal say that if there's something that's worrying you, da'aga b'leivish, your heart is, you're filled with anxiety, with fear, with worry, what should you do? Share that pain that you have inside of you with others. Why? Because it could be that one of the people that you share with, obviously, you know, you're not going around discussing your personal suffering with the whole world. I mean, that's absurd. But you're talking. But he says, "Yisichena la'achem." Discuss the pain of your heart with those people who are close to you, with those people who you know love you. Because it could be that amongst those people, one of them will not be worthy. If one of them is not worthy of suffering, is not deserving of punishment, and you share your pain with that individual, and the individual begins to break, Mimela, as a result of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds off the whole punishment. Holds it off. Because that tzaddik is not going to suffer. Therefore, you should talk. Yisichena, go talk. Tell it over. Tell over what's hurting you, what's worrying you. Tell over what's upsetting you. Tell over what you're afraid of. Tell over the situation is, and discuss it. Kipen yimtza ish kazeh, you might find a person, sheitzar b'tzar, who will empathize with you. For ein roi l'oinish, and this person is not roish, is not somebody who deserves to be punished. V'meili yisulka ha'yisurim gam yisha zeh. And as a result of that, your own suffering, whether it be physical, God forbid, or mental anguish, or financial suffering, whatever it is, can be removed from you as well. Havein hadavar. Ulufiza, just to skip after the parentheses. Davar godel dibel ane rebrachi b'psichos alo. Therefore, we now have a new understanding of the Medrash which we began. The huk shalo gam kein. Mao hadibra hanemar v'pasuk rishon. V'pasuk l'mahay kra. Gam anosh latzadik lo tov. La'akos nadiv mal yosher. He's coming back to talk, to discuss this Medrash that rebrachi brings down this pasuk in Mishlei. I want you to realize that what the Bnei Yisrael is talking about here is one of the primary roles of the tzaddik, and which was wasn't a chiddush of Chassidus, but it's something that became very heavily emphasized in Chassidus, is to go and to share one's tzaris, one's tzar, one's worries with the tzaddik. Dagi b'levisha sichana, to go discuss it with the tzaddik. And we see that the point is not just that the tzaddik should daven for you. Although, of course, that's very important. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. That the tzaddik, the main role of the tzaddik is to intercede on behalf of those who are connected to him. And to daven on behalf of those who are connected to him. On all Klal Yisrael. But there's another role that the tzaddik has. And it's a tragic role. And what's that? The role of the tzaddik is to suffer. The role of the tzaddik is to feel the pain of other Jews. To feel that pain. You remember, at some point in our lives, most of us read The Chosen, right? By Chaim Potok. Maybe you were thinking of it when I was talking about that. And a lot of his writings are some exaggerations and delusions, although some of his books are certainly wonderful. And The Chosen, personally, was one of my favorite ones growing up. So you recall that that what was being portrayed in that book was the very bizarre relationship between the Rebbe, Reb Saunders, right, and his son Danny. Something that Reuven wasn't able to understand. I mean, for those of you familiar with the book, I'm sure this brings back nice memories of what the book of the Chosen. So you recall that Reb Saunders was raising his son Danny, who was a brilliant child, who was being groomed as the next Rebbe. That Danny was being raised in silence. It means that his father only spoke to him in learning. And his father never ever spoke to him about anything personal. But to the other children he did speak, as you recall. And that caused Danny unfathomable suffering. That his father never spoke to him. And this new, more modern friend, right, the non-Hasidic friend, that they became buddies as a result of that baseball accident. So Reuven couldn't believe this. His father was always talking to him, and they were sharing and so on. And here was this wonderful guy, Danny, this brilliant guy, and his father is so holy and so righteous. And the father would talk to Reuven, right? And he would speak to Danny through Reuven. Until finally at the end of the book, there was a part that to this day, if I think about it, gets me crying. When for the first time, where the Rebbe looks at his son and starts to talk to him. And he tries to explain to him that he was trying to raise him as a tzaddik. He was trying to bring up a tzaddik. Right. I wouldn't say it's not working out. When he realized that he's raising a different kind of a tzaddik. See, he's not going to be a chassidish rebbe. Now, what's interesting there is that he's going to be a different kind of tzaddik. He explained in the book, Reb Saunders was a man who went through terrible suffering, terrible tzaris. And he explained when he did finally, I mean, through Reuven, and then when he spoke to Danny, what he explained was that in order for you to feel the pain of other Jews, I had to do this, and I'm sorry. I had to raise you in silence. And the explanation in that book, I'm not going to go through the whole story now, but if you have it, you know, to look over. But the explanation is, in order for you, you see, we naturally turn to the ones we love and unburden ourselves all the time. All the time. I was home for 4 minutes today. I just came home and I ran over. And in those 4 minutes, I already gave to my wife something. I hardly had a chance to talk about it. You know, I didn't even see the kids, but there was something that was worrying me and upsetting me, and I spoke to my wife about it, and I said, okay, I gotta go. And then you're able to start breathing again, right? So what the Rebbe was saying was, I know I've hurt you. I've hurt you in a terrible way.
But I had to raise a child that would be able to hear the suffering of other people. And that meant that, and he believed, he admitted that it didn't work, but he believed that only by removing himself as the one with whom Danny could share those deeper feelings and worries, and Danny being forced to contend with his own pain within himself, and that he would become the kind of a person that would be a Veltz Rebbe, a Rebbe for the world. But the Tzemach Tzedek used to change his clothing many, many times a day. He would change his clothing, the Tzemach Tzedek. He was once asked, why is that? That they didn't see that by other tzaddikim, that he was constantly, after every few people he would see, he would go into a room and he would come out with fresh clothing. And the Tzemach Tzedek said, you know, how hard it is for me. He says, first of all, when a person comes to talk to me, so in order for me to feel what that person's feeling, I have to become that person. I have to take off myself and I have to change into that person. But then if I want to help that person, I have to then become me, right? To help the person. Then to see if that Eitzah can really be something that brings that person's heart some joy and some relief, I have to enter back into his heart. You know, how many times a day I have to change? How many times a day do I have to change? But do we understand that? Do we understand such a thing? And on a higher madrega, that the tzaddik feels the pain of all reality, not just the pain of his chassidim, not just the pain of the Jewish people, not just the pain of the non-Jewish world, but the pain of the Welt. Like I've said very often about, you know, how when Arya Levine was walking once with Rav Kook, and he just haphazardly pulled off a leaf. You know, sometimes it sticks out from a fence, and when Rav Arya Levine, who was a, you know, was a great tzaddik, he was walking once with Rav Kook, and Rav Arya Levine pulled off a flower. Stop! And Rav Kook gave a scream. Oi! And Rav Arya, what happened, Rabbi? What happened? So Rav Kook said, what did you do that? Why did you do that? He says, what? He says, why did you tear that flower? Why did you tear that plant? So Rav said, didn't even realize. You know, we always do that. He said, what happened? So Rav Kook explained to Mela, if it's a flower to give to one's wife, if it's needed to make perfume, achveiz. So the Baruch Shalom said you could do such a thing. But stam? But you see, so nowadays you say, if a person's not a tzaddik, nowadays you have different kind of tzaddikim. They get upset that there's some animal someplace that's having aggravation, but the next door neighbor is miserable, you understand? They don't see that. But a tzaddik, we can't even imagine that tzaddik feels mamish for everyone and everything. Everyone and everything. You hear stories from Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim is a famous maestro. I'm not going to say it all, but you know the maestro of Chafetz Chaim, that someone was looking forward so long to the Chafetz Chaim coming there, and the Chafetz Chaim is for Shabbos, and he comes there, there's not even time to sing Eshes Chal. Kiddush, Shalom Aleichem, Kiddush, fast. And the Chafetz Chaim is already asking for Maim Achroinim. And they were very disappointed. Chafetz Chaim, they were expecting Torah and Zmiris, you know, a whole Shabbos dish. Chafetz Chaim, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, let's finish. So no one understood. So Chafetz Chaim said that he saw Nebuch, the non-Jewish girl that was working in the kitchen. She was so tired. Zachmanis. Or when the Chafetz Chaim came out to dance, that last Simchas Torah of his life, he couldn't dance, when they carried him in to the Beis Medrash, the last Simchas Torah of his life, that I met someone that was there. When the Chafetz Chaim was brought in for the last Simchas Torah, and that's when Rebbe Chanan Vasim was there. And they brought in the Chavetz Chaim. It was very late at night, and everybody was so excited that they actually brought in the Chavetz Chaim, and they carried him in, and they brought him. And the Chavetz Chaim didn't start to clap. The Chavetz Chaim said, "Stop dancing, boys. It's Rachmanis. The parents paid so much money for your shoes for Yontif. Go back to sleep." Nowadays, they're going, "Boo!" Right? They start hissing at the Chavetz Chaim. But you in a shtetl. In a shtetl in 1933, the parents probably worked for months to buy a pair of shoes for the children. The Chafetz Chaim felt that. The Chafetz Chaim felt that. It was real to him. And he made an exchange. He was making exchange for Ruchnias, Simchas Torah, Yeshiva Bachram, Leibedik, everything wonderful. He said, "Oh, but Sarachman is for parents.
Because in the morning after the dance is finished, the mother's going to look at the shoes and they're filthy and whatever. And that's a month's panasa. 2 months panasa. But the tzaddik, the tzaddik feels that tzar, feels that anguish. And if he doesn't, he's disqualified. Is this kind of tzaddik? It's not tzaddik. Okay. Halavai, we should have been in them like that. But if he doesn't feel that tsar of the welt, of the world, if he doesn't feel that, and to the greatness of the tzaddik is measured by that. It's not an easy job. It's not an easy job. He would even feel bad how hot you feel. Right? So that's what the Rebbe's talking about. He's not just, this isn't just a Torah. He's saying this to Chassidim on a Shabbos. Many of whom were people in those days with terrible tzaras. Terrible tzaras, financial, lived in fear. And he was telling them, Yidin Daigibale Vishya Sichena, talk to a tzaddik. He wasn't saying talk to him. Although for sure that's what he was referring to. Daigibale Vishya Sichena, Lacher means talk to someone who's a tzaddik. Telling this to people and sincerely feeling their suffering and their pain. But people are amazed. You know, I've been people that were by tzaddikim will tell you that kaidim, that it was a nais, it was a pella, that there were people even in this generation tzaddikim that they had thousands upon thousands of chassidim. They knew each one by name and what was going on in the person's life. I once told you, maybe not so long ago, Maisa, that I told you, I think Monday night, two months ago, that there was a, that I went, I was in Live Boimer in Meron, and I said, I asked from a tzaddik that I saw there. For a second, I saw him, he was passing through in the car, and he asked him for a bracha for my sister to have a child. They were married for a while without children. I just pushed the kvittel, I pushed the note into the window, I banged on it, it was such a chutzpah. I actually banged on. I had an opportunity. They were bringing him through in the car. Remember, did I tell this myself? They were driving through. This is the Kal of a Rebbe, should be well. They were driving him from Eretz Yisrael. They were driving him through, and Lag Boimer, you know, Meron, place is packed. And all of a sudden, pushing everybody's, and there's a car, and the Kal of a Rebbe is like this, you know, holding his eyes down, and they're driving him through. I got into my head. So why not take advantage, you know? So I quickly wrote a kvittel, because I had this very much on my mind. It was certainly hurting me a lot, and I went over. I banged on the window, and the shamans, the guy that was driving, gave me a look like, "Mamish, you know." But the rabbi looked up, and I showed him how to kvittel, and he opened the window, and he took it and he looked at it, and whatever. And he said like the car was moving. He said something like a bracha, and that was it. Next time I saw him was around 6-7 years later in Queens. He came for a Shabbos. I never saw the man before or after. And I brought a bunch of boys to meet him. He was staying in Queens. I brought a bunch of boys to Rabbi Steinberg's house, a very close friend of mine. And I brought him there, and the Calvary Rebbe was there. That's all I saw him amongst 100,000 people. And when I came there with the boys, the first thing he said to me, "What's the name of the Shvester? What happened to your sister?" Because I wrote there, Achoisi, you know. So I said that she had. I said she had a little girl. Chazdei Hashem, Chazdei Hashem. So happy. You wouldn't even have a relative on someone that you love, like the simcha, the sincere and simple simcha that he had. I mean, it was unbelievable. So, you know, like he was, and the rest of the time he was going like this for a few minutes. Chazdei Hashem, Chazdei Hashem. He was so happy. But what? But my sin, he didn't know me. He met me. I don't even, it's altogether a nace that he could remember a person that he saw for a second in the midst of so many people. And he looked at me just for a second like that. That's a tzaddik. It's a simon of a tzaddik. It meant something to him. It was a stam. I'm sorry to hear it. And somehow, in his own way, the reason that he remembered me is because he did, because it was on his mind. Whatever that means, I don't know how a person can have so many things on his mind. But it was on his mind, in his heart. That there was this yid that pushed in a kvittel. Lag Boimer, he must have been desperate that he was so worried about his yist. And he...
7 years.
Yeah. Six and a half years, yeah. It's a pella. That's what it means, Daigi B'lei V'yishin Sichana. To talk to a tzaddik, to go to a tzaddik. It doesn't mean they're necessarily going to hear amazing eitzes. Amazing, you know, the Mendel of Orko hardly said a word. Mendel of Orko came out, didn't talk, you do it. The other tzaddikim that they came out didn't say, and when tzaddikim went to see the Mendel of Orko, they walked out like they never heard anything like that in their lives. And chassidim used to look through the door, and the Mendel of Orko would sit there, but the other tzaddikim would sit for 6 hours, or 7 hours, just like, krechzing, not a word. And then the other one would walk out, the Rishna would walk out, oh, what an amazing tzaddik. Because there's such a madrega. And that's how he learns that's what he says in the Pasuk. A Pasuk le mahai, the Medrash from Abrachia. It says, mahai kro, it's around 10 lines up from the bottom. Gam anoish le tzadik le toiv, lahakas nadiv mal yoyshe, the koshumau gam. What does it mean, and also? Val mai koiv, gam, and also. Gam Pasuk bit tzadik v'sim bin adivim. He says, mefarsho, I'm going to explain. Gam anoish le tzadik le toiv. What does it mean? And also, to punish the tzaddik is not good. Shashem is baruch oimer. Hashem is saying, Shafilu b'tzir of the racher. Meaning, gam anoish le tzaddik. Doesn't mean that tzaddik did anything wrong. It means like Aaron, who didn't do anything wrong. But his sons did. But as a result of that, gam anoish le tzaddik, remember, that the tzaddik will also suffer. Every Jew has to try to get into that gam of the tzaddik. You understand? To be in the vagam of the tzaddik. Why were they fighting so much by chassidim, by rebbes, that the chassidim would fight so much to go erev Yom Kippur just that the rebbe should see them? Just the rebbe should see them. They said to be remembered. To be remembered. It's all to get into that what? That gam. What does it mean, vagam? That if you're part of those who are makusha to the tzaddik, who are attached to the tzaddik, then you're part of the vagam. That it's not good for the tzaddik to suffer. It's not good for the tzaddik to suffer. And if you're part of the vagam, and also, it means that you're also one of those through, if it's not good for you, if something is wrong in your life, then the tzaddik is feeling that pain. That's the vagam. That's the gam anosh le tzaddik lo tov. Not the punishing, not that the tzaddik did something wrong. But it's a gam anosh le tzaddik. And the tzaddik is also being punished because of your problems, right? He's also being punished how? Because he can't bear to hear your problems. But each one of us in a certain madrega can do this. Of course, by the bigger the tzaddik. But each one of us. That's what he says. But tzaddik yilo gam kain tzar. That the tzaddik has gam kain, he has tzar. It also hurts the tzaddik. Gam ze loy toiv lahanish et tzaddik she'en aroi. That's not good. Hashem doesn't want to do it. That's not a good thing. Hashem prefers not to do that. Therefore, one has to be makusha to the tzaddik, to try to become attached to the tzaddik. Memeli yisula kaden gami ha'adom achote, and then the din can be taken away even from the one who has actually sinned. Rak lahakos and adivim, the back of the page. Lahakos and adivim, hainu marbis hamoin hanadivim esnadvim letzar betzarosei ham akrevim shurak nadivus that tzar enem agilu gufam. So he says, but the end of the pasuk says, rak lahakos and adivim means that there are other people who care for this person, who feel some tzar, but shurak nadivus. In other words, that tzar enem agilu gufam. It doesn't hurt them in a deep way. It doesn't really, really touch them. Hine says Hashem is brach makes on the divim halalu gam kain al yoyshe. In other words, they are also being punished al yoyshe, which means in a fair way. All the family members and friends of someone who's going through tzaras, they're also receiving something that's coming to them, and that's how they're receiving it, through the tzar, through the aggravation that they have about their friend's pain. Al yoyshe, therefore, it's a fair thing. It's not, God forbid, something that's unfair. Shadonim oisam im gam heim ruuyim letztayr kol kach ki im lefiat sa kol echod lefiat sa ha megiyeh chasu sholim b'mida u mishkal. And every single person, every single one of them, if they're experiencing tzar, is because that tzar is specifically for them on their level, the mida of a mishkal in measure and exactly to the tzar that that person is supposed to experience. This sefer Agra de Pirka is sort of a collection of teachings that don't seem to follow any particular order. Things that it's like almost like a diary almost of the Bnei Yisrael, where there are different dinyanim, different teachings that he brings down, many of them from other tzaddikim that he heard, and they have not been arranged in any particular order. On the bottom, the Sefer Agrid Ditzvi is a commentary by a tzaddik who was of this generation, the Weizen Rav from Chicago. Rav Meisels was a big tzaddik. So he wrote a commentary called Agrid Ditzvi on the Agrid Pirka of the Bnei Yisrael. Benidon Ozayin on top. Benidon Masha Haminaga Nohuk Bavo Ish Yisrael Al Tzaddik and Mavakish Menashi Yispalo Badon Nosno Momon Avorzeh. He says, want to explain why is it that when a person comes to the tzaddik, for the tzaddik to daven, that he also gives money. But the minig is to give money, which is called a pidyon. A redemption of one's soul. And there are famous stories about the kapedis that tzaddikim had, even though they didn't keep the expert. There's stories about the apter of the Ovi Yisrael and about the Rablevitz from Baditshev sending people away. There was a maestro, I'm not going to go into the whole story, but there was a maestro from Kedushas Levi, Baditshev Arov, Erev Yom Kippur, that he was giving brachas. They were lined up the whole Erev Yom Kippur, and he was giving out for an expensive amount, for a large amount. And there was a woman that came with the baby, it was all maestro, and she didn't have the amount, and the Kedushas Levi said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. And it was almost called Nidre, and she couldn't believe it. How could it be? Right, he asked for 10 zahuvim, you need 10 rubles. She says, Rabbi, she's a Nebuchadnezzar Almana with a little baby. She says, I have 5, Rabbi. I'm sorry, the sign says 10. Kedush is Levi. The Benedict says, I'm sorry, I can't help you. What? So the Kedush is Levi says, you have to have the 10. So there's nothing she could do, and it was almost yontif. And not only that, but the B'ditch of his Rebbetzin was begging him to already get ready for Kol Nidre. And he's not moving. He's by the table waiting. This is the last customer. So he sent her, and he's waiting. The Rebbetzin says, come in already, Rebbe Levi Yitzchak, come in. I can't. And he's waiting for this lady to come back. The lady comes back, and she says, Rebbe, I can't get the other 5 rubles. The Kedushas Levi says, no, I'm sorry. I can't help you. So he says, you have 5 rubles, so come here, I'll bench you with the good kuzuntur. So the mother cries out and she says, I don't want for myself. Michael Zayn, here's the 5 rubles, Rabbi, just give a bracha to my baby. So Kedushas Levi, when he got that, his mamish lit up. And he said, Rabbi Shalom, here's a Jewish woman. She's Michael on her life. The hikr is it should be good for her children. So can't we expect the same thing from you, Rabbi Shalom? Kedushas Levi, don't be so makbid on what you on this Yom Kippur. The ikur is it should be good by the kinder. If it's good by the children, it's good for the mother also. It's good for you too. So my answer from Kedushas Levi, and there are many stories about that. And not only just that, you should know that this is not something that was the Agra de Pirka Bnei Yisrael is going to show. This wasn't something that began with the rabbis. This is something that was way, way before tzaddikim, way before. I mean, we know in the Torah of the Yitzchak Avinu when he sent out for a bracha, right? But that's a little bit different. We'll talk about that also. But it was a long time before. If you just to take a look in the Agra de Tzvi, before we get started, look, you see, there's a commentary on the bottom. On the left-hand side, on the first page where it says Ulanias Daiti, you see the paragraph on the left-hand side in the Agra de Tzvi. You have that? You see Ulanias Daiti. The Rosh Hashanah is Vav Lamed Ayin Nun Dalad. Yesh Lo Mekam Tamar Bezeh. We're going to go through some of these also, but he says Ulfima De Isa Belukutim Ariel De Heidu Al Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam. You know Rabbeinu Tam is? It's Rashi's grandson, right? De Heidu Al Rabbeinu Tam. So who's the godly Balei Tosfos? That there is Eidus from Rabbeinu Tam, Kishaha Yeraitza Lilma Tamsis Mehalacha Chamura, that when he was trying to, when he was learning a very, very difficult halacha, Hayanoisin Lefon of Tal Shel Zehuvim, he used to put in front of him a pile of gold coins, Lismach Behen, to rejoice with them. V'nisrachiv libo, and his heart would expand. V'lamad b'koyach, and he would learn the pshat. It's a ma'aseh from Rabbeinu Tam that when he was having a hard time learning halacha, he would put a pile of gold coins in front of him. Let's look in the Bnei Sos. Let's see what this means. On top. He gives money for this. We see something already in the Zohar. Okay, discuss the difference between Pidyon and Geula and redemption. That's not for now. He brings from the drushes of the Ran, Rabbeinu Nisim. That we find that Yecheskel Hanavi was screaming about the false prophets that they used to say Nevuah for bread. Used to go to the Nevi Sheker and used to pay a price. This Nevi Sheker charged $5, $10. Like they had indulgences in the church. If you wanted forgiveness for this Avera, so then this Avera costs 50. They used to have tables set up outside the church. There were different prices and different sins, and you could. This is something that was very common in the Middle Ages, and where a person would buy salvation, Lahavdil would buy salvation, and there would be sales, there would be the prices and sales and so on, and if there's a joke that if the priest didn't have. Change, the guy only had 100, and so he said, go and do it again, give me the 100 and do it again, we'll be alright. So the Navi Yecheskel was screaming about the Navi Yeshekel, that they're saying that they're charging money for Nevuah. They're charging a price for Nevuah. So Hoya Aminik Bevadai, the Ran says this, that this certainly was the Aminik Bevadai Gamba Navi Hayemes. The Ran says that it's clear to him that the true Nevi'im, Yecheskel, Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, the true Nevi'im, would also take gifts, would also take money for the Nevuah. The Lulei Shahayah, the Ran says, the Lulei Shahayah HaMinuk Kain, if that would not have been the custom, V'chisal Kedaitach Sheitu Yisrael Achrei Nevi'im, next page, Nevi'ah HaShekir, Hayla Lamarei Neim, Hashem Avakshim Askeris, it's not so easy for you to depart with their money. Can't do as it's known. And he says, and the Ran says, that if only the Nevi'ah Sheker were charging money, do you think in your wildest imagination that they would go to the Nevi'ah Sheker? If only the Nevi'ah Sheker were charging money. Halolamari Neima, Shemavak, Shemaskaris. They would say, Kar chutzpah, these guys, these prophets, they're charging money. I'll go to the Navi, to Inzer Nevi'ah. He's not charging, they're not charging anything. Hashem came to Nevi'ah Emes. Why should I go spend money? El al korchach, the Ran says, Shagam Nevi'ah Emes kiblu matanas, that it was the minug that the Nevi'ah Emes, the Ran says, that the true prophets, when someone would come to talk to the Navi, that they would give the Navi a matana, a gift. V'chein timtze b'shol, shahalach el Shmuel. And so we see in Shmuel Aleph that when Shaul, King Shaul, when he went to Shmuel HaNavi, bikesh litan la matana, he came with a gift. Hagam Shmuel like Kibel, and that's a chiddush, that Shmuel refused to accept the gift. Kimida Cheres Hoyselo Kamar Machazal Harod Shishalahenis Alihenik Shmuel Aramati. The Gemara tells that Shmuel Hanavi, his way was not to take anything from anybody ever. He was mekabel on himself. He didn't take gifts. Mashma Davke Shmuel Hayman Hago came. The pashas is that was extraordinary. That Shmuel had this extraordinary thing that he did not take matanis. But the Pasha says that the other Nevi'im, Nevi'ah, Emistik and Nevi'im, that they took gifts. V'chein timse beishis yiravim, k'shahol chel achi hashilayni. That it's poshut in Tanakh that they brought gifts with them. Mizet tishpot shagam Nevi'ah ha'emes kain hayim in hagam. V'lochari hu davar zar. So Mesa says, this seems like an odd thing to give money. Why do you have to give money? To give money. Achi explains like this. He says, "Dehinei his baidus letzilo lenevuot sarach lahagbiya aseich lahakten achayim." The Ran explains that in order for the Navi's davening to work, his meditation, his davening to work, and his prophecy to work. He has to lift up, he has to strengthen and empower his seichel, his spirituality, and to diminish and to minimize the physical presence in his life. So you would think this, why is he taking money? So he says, in order to receive from Hashem. It's because of the presence of any physical desire that it doesn't allow the spirituality to completely take over the tzaddik's, the Navi's life. So therefore he says, Rak lahamayas ta'avoso. Al kain eitza hayutza litun la'eza dover yutav be'ine ha'chomer. Therefore, what's the eitz of the Ran says? To keep the chomer, to keep the physical part of the, to go, when you go to the Navi, give something that'll keep the physical part of the Navi preoccupied. You give him something. In other words, you give the Navi a gift of some money, and then the physical part of the Navi rejoices in that, so to speak, or delighting in that, and is preoccupied with that. And then it would leave the Navi alone, that the Navi should be able to daven properly. He won't be bothered by the nagging of physical desire, of any physical inclination. He says, this is the mystery of the seer that was thrown down to Azazel, that was thrown off the cliff, as the Ramban says, the famous Ramban, the seer Azazel. So the side of evil says, here, okay, take this. Right? Which the Ramban writes over there, astounding things. Like a gift to the evil one. So, the Ran is saying this, that when the person will go to the Navi, so in order that the Navi's spirit should be able to completely soar without any, without being in the slightest way held back by physical interests, the physical, that little physical presence of the Tzaddik was sort of distracted. Was distracted by the Matana, by the gift. And he says, this is the mystery of the hair that's in the tefillin also, that's not for us. V'zet toichen divei Ran. U'chvoid admor, until here is the Ran. U'chvoid adoni moi rabbi rabbi kodesh meinu rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak zeichet tzag levrocha. Who's that? Yaakov Yitzchak. That's this. No. That's Yosef. That's many years later. Yaakov Yitzchak is the chayzer, the seer of Lublin. That's his rabbi. Chvoid, he says, my Rebbe, Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak, meaning that's the Hasir of Lublin, the Chayzer from Lublin. Diber Bekodcho, he spoke in his holiness. The Ha'inyin who? Bevo Ish L'Hispalil L'Hashem Yisbarach Ba'ad Chaveiro. The Chayzer from Lublin said that when a Jew comes, when someone comes to Daven to Hashem for his friend, Hini Choshev La'azuz Chas Hashem, it seems like a chutzpah. Be'emeloi Lama Chaveiro Chenem Hispalil Ba'atzmo. Why shouldn't your friend Daven for himself? Al-Kain who? Who do you think you are? You think that you're davening for your friend? Who do you think you are that you're davening for him? He may have more schus than you. Let him daven for himself. Who are you that you're davening for him? He says, Eitza Yutzel, what do you do? Therefore, what should you do? He's talking about the tzaddik. To take a little bit of money, some schar. This is tzaddikim, used to generally disperse the charity, tzedakah. Take a little bit of schar. V'im kein hu tshuva b'fnei makatrib. You say, well, zani mispalo. I'm not davening because I'm such a great person. I'm not davening because I'm so holy. I'm getting paid to daven. Shani shliach sheyishalmu maskurati. I'm a shliach. And you know, and when there's a shliach that's getting paid, then mamash apply the halacha of shulcha shalom kamo yisai, and that the halacha is that it's mamash as if the person himself was davening for himself. I'm just a hired servant. That's all. Shani shliach sheyishalmu maskurati umechuyev ani lasa shlichusi. I'm chayev to do this shlichus. I have to do this. And he says, this is a little bit of a limus chus on the chazan who get paid to daven by the Yom Nerayim by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But of course, the condition is that the kavana should be l'shem shemayim, should be for the sake of heaven. What we'll talk about, maybe just for a few minutes next time, we'll talk about some other reasons for the Indian of accepting a kvittel. And, yeah.
Why isn't it Why is it different than my Amaya?
Huh? The miles, the miles is no, no. This, so the shaila in general of being paid to do a mitzvah. So is it any different? The miles also paid. Yeah, because I think over here the point that the Rebbe is making is that over here, the when it comes to davening, it's totally on one's chusim. And because it's depending on one's schusim, so there's a kitrig against the person. Like, who are you that you have so many schusim? You're diving for that person. So, but by a model, it's a different thing. There, it's pashut. That's something that you're right. Though it does require a little bit to explain a little bit more. Taka, why is it that the minig is not to is davka not to ask? Because with the shlichus, there's no reason why not to ask davka with the shlichus. But all right. That you have to think about a little bit more.